So, chapter 16, as we dig in here and go on our way through here, we know that Samuel and Saul have gone through a bunch of things together, and now it says that the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul? He hasn't even died, but he's mourning for him because he's gone away from trusting the Lord, gone away from being obedient to the Lord, just despising the word of the Lord and just rejecting who God is." And so that is a time where you mourn for somebody because they've just rejected everything that God wants to do. But the Lord says that there's a time. The Lord says in Scripture that he won't always deal with man, but there's going to come that time where he just cuts them off and gives them what they desire. And here's this place where Samuel has to do the same thing. He's coming into that relationship with the Lord that goes deeper and deeper. And Samuel just mourning for Saul, mourning for him that he would turn. But the Lord says, "How long are you going to mourn for him, seeing that I have rejected him?" So there comes a time where we must get rid of those attachments, that we just come to that place of just realizing that this attachment is not going to change, this relationship isn't going to change, and I need to move on from here because God is always moving forward. It's just that we don't always want to move forward. Sometimes we just get comfortable in our sin or get comfortable in our situations and just don't want to move on from there. But the Lord says there's a time that we have to go from there, just to encourage the others to run and catch up, or to be left completely behind. But it's interesting, he can't move on and go see David until he gets rid of this attachment to the things of Saul, to Saul's ways. And so the Lord speaks to him and says, "How long shall you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel?" The country needs a leader. The country needs a godly leader. The country needs a place where they can go to without fear, without trembling, without being just pulled into something that Saul has for the country. I want a different place. I want a different... Yeah, I want a different thing going on in Israel. And so he looks at Saul and says, "Saul, or Samuel, it's time to move on." And so he says, "Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided me a king among his sons." Man picked Saul, man picked the ways of Saul. God brought him forward, and the people loved him, the people wanted him, because they were looking on the outward, not the inward. I'm going to send you to Jesse, for I've provided me a king. This isn't going to be the people's kings. This is going to be my king. This is going to be the one that's going to rule over you, because he's got my heart. He's a man after mine own heart. He's a man after mine own ways. He's the apple of my eye. He's the one that desires the things that are godly, not the things that are ungodly. And we certainly want leaders like that, and that's how we should be praying for those that are around us, praying for their salvations, praying that they would be godly people who would bring about godly legislation and just do those things that are right in God's eyes, and not to be afraid of what man is going to say. So Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." Isn't it amazing that Samuel has been one of the best friends and best people for Saul, and yet Saul, in that place of just being overcome with evil at times, would kill a man who loved him that much? But we do, don't we? We can kill with our hearts, we can kill with our minds, we can kill with our words, and usually it's the ones that we're closest to that we love the most. But Saul, or Samuel, in that place, he's afraid of a man, which he shouldn't be. And the Lord's going to show him that I can keep you through this. I can keep you away from that danger. Trust me, as you walk in this world, trust me that I can bring you to a right place. And even if we're in a wrong place, if we're afraid of something, if we're afraid of men, the Lord can bring us to a right place. He says, don't be afraid of this. Trust me. And boy, we need trust in the Lord, especially in the places that we're in, the country that we're in, the things that are going on in the world that we're in, that we don't have to be afraid. We can go on and we can have fellowship with godly men, men who love God and men who are going to be godly for us and help us in that and just be an encouragement for us. And so the Lord says, take a heifer with you. Not only go, but then take a cow with you. Really, Lord? If you're the provider of all things, why do I have to drag this dumb cow with me? And it's amazing what he calls us to do sometimes. Well, I know they've got a whole ranch. Man, David's got a ranch. Jesse's got seven sons. David's the youngest, but he's got a whole ranch. He's got sheep, he's got goats, he's got all this stuff. Why do I need to take a cow? Because I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. And talk about being obvious. It would be one thing for Samuel to walk around the country, which he did all the time, right? But now, to be obvious about it, he's taken a cow. And the cow's going to be there for sacrifice, right? I'm going to bring this cow for sacrifice in the midst of Saul's eyes where he can see it. But Lord, you're going to shield him from seeing what I'm doing. Oh, isn't that amazing? Take a cow with you. Well, what if he doesn't like me? Doesn't matter. You're taking one with you. So take a heifer with you and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show thee what you shall do, and you shall anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. So as you go, these are the things that are going to come to pass. You're going to call Jesse to the sacrifice. I'm going to show you there what you're going to do. Notice he doesn't say, this is what's going to happen as you come. He says, go and prepare a sacrifice and call Jesse to it. The next step in the plan that I have for you, Samuel. I'm not going beyond that step. I'll show you that step when you get there.
Okay.
Okay, Lord, I'll be obedient to you. So Samuel did that which the Lord spake in verse 4, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? What are they expecting? A man of God is coming, and yet they're trembling because he's come to their town. You're going to call down fire from heaven on us? It's amazing. Instead of being just in love with the God who loves them, they're afraid because the prophet has come to our town. It's amazing. If they were walking rightly, they wouldn't have to be afraid of who was coming to their town. And that's a sad place that we get to as a country, as a people, as an individual, when somebody who's godly is coming and we get afraid because they're coming. Instead of enjoying what God is bringing to us, they start trembling because they're afraid that God is going to do something bad to them. Did you ever get in that place where no matter what goes on, you feel like God is against you and God is going to bring something evil into your life? Here he is. These people are there and they see a godly man coming and they're afraid that he's coming to their town. Are you coming with peace or are you going to come and cause trouble in the town? And he said, I'm coming peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. So sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He invites them, even though they're not in a good place spiritually. He says, I've come to do a sacrifice, so set yourselves apart and come with me. He invites them, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you're having trouble in your heart, your mind, he says, come and I'll give you rest. in Revelation and says the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's always that invitation that the Lord has to come and spend time with me. Come and sit before me. Are you struggling? Come and be with me so that I can minister to your heart and your mind and just bring peace to your life, because that's who I am. That's why I've come, is to bring peace. I haven't come to bring war to you. I've come to bring peace to you. So come with me to the sacrifice. And so he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to his to the sacrifice. And it came to pass that when they were come, he looked on Eliab, whose name means God of his father. So he's evidently a godly man. He's evidently a man who's good looking, and he's the eldest. And they would always bring the eldest first. That doesn't mean the eldest is the best, though, does it? Scripture says that aged men are not always wise. And we realize that. We see that more and more, don't we? Just because we're older doesn't mean that we've got God working with us and working for us and he's on our side. But he looks on Eliab and he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He looks before him and he sees this young man and he says, surely this has got to be God's chosen. This has got to be the one that God has for us. Yahoo! This is an easy meal. This is an easy thing. I'm ready. But the Lord, verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, don't look on his countenance. Samuel, you've still got things to learn. And isn't it amazing? We can be called a prophet. We can be called a pastor. We can be called a ministry leader. We can be called this. We can be called that. But that doesn't mean that we don't have things to learn. And as he comes to the sacrifice, he calls Jesse. Jesse comes. They come to the sacrifice. His first son comes before him to meet him, to be ministered to by him. And in that place, the Lord says, you're looking on the outward. You're not looking on the inward. Samuel, you need to grow a little bit more in this area. You need to come to that place. And we should always be open, not just for the Lord's leading, but then for the Lord's correction. And he's really, in a sense, correcting Samuel, because Samuel, you have a wrong expectation of this man. You have a wrong expectation that I'm looking on this man the same way that you are. You need my heart a little bit more. And so for us, it certainly is that place where, Lord, we need to grow. We need to be in your presence. We need to be looking like you look. We need to hear like you hear. We need to see like you see. So grow me in those ways, Lord, that I don't just look on the outward, that I'm looking on the inward and seeing the grace that you have there. So the Lord says to Samuel, look not on his countenance nor on the height of his stature. Just because he's tall doesn't mean I like him. In fact, I've refused him.
Yeah.
Wow. And he should refuse him the same way that we should refuse him, just because he's not the one that God has. Doesn't mean that he wasn't a good man. Doesn't mean that he had didn't have godly characteristics, but he wasn't the one that God chose to lead the country. He had deformities in a place that we don't know of, but David had the heart that was after the things of the Lord, and that's what God wanted. He didn't want a tall, strong man. He wanted a man whose heart was after the things of the Lord. And that should always be a clue for us, that just because somebody is good looking or rich or famous doesn't mean that we want to have company with them. We want to have company with the ones whose hearts are after the things of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, help us in this. Because so often the church, even in the old days, remember the old churches, they used to have places in the pews where the people could buy the pews, and the richer you were, the more up front you could get. or if you had good clothing. Remember the book of James?
Mm-hmm.
He comes in good clothing, and they put him right up front. You can dress somebody up. It doesn't make them godly. You can give somebody money. It doesn't make them rich before the things of the Lord. All that does is it just gives them a fat head that, hey, I'm up front. I must be doing something right. Doesn't mean anything. Sometimes it's better to go way to the back and sit with a tramp that's sitting back there who has a heart for the Lord than somebody who's rich and famous and good looking that can sit up front. Yeah, that's why Tim and Patrick are together. I'm not sure who's doing what, but I don't know if one of them is rich and the other one's famous, but they're together here. So the Lord said to him, I've refused him, for the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh. Notice that ETH, if you get the King James, it means he looks and continues to look on the heart. He's looking on your heart, he's looking on my heart for the things that are right. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God is looking on the heart. He's looking in those places to see how the heart is before the Lord. And so Jesse calls then Abinadab, which was his second son. His name means generous. This man had the spirit of generosity. This man could come and be generous to those things. And people look at that and go, oh, you're my best friend because you're so generous. No, I want you to be my best friend because you love the Lord. We are so swayed by the things of the world. Isn't it terrible how caught up with the things of the world we can become, and how long it takes for the Lord to break those things down in our lives, that we wouldn't just base our friendships or our fellowship on those things, that we'd base our fellowship on who God is, true fellowship, just talking about the things of the Lord. And so he calls Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and God says, nah, he's shaking his head again. You know what is wonderful here? That even though Samuel has some things that are going on that the Lord has to correct, he also has such a relationship with the Lord that as quickly as somebody can come in front of him, the Lord can look at him and say, no, not this one. And Samuel just dismisses it right away. He has such a relationship with the Lord and walking in the Spirit that as soon as the Lord says no, he can just dismiss it and let it go. Oh, and for us, how long would it take for us to say, nah, probably not this one. Nah, this isn't the friend I need. This isn't the one I need. This isn't the one I want to make an elder in the church. This isn't the one that I want to make a pastor in the church. It's somebody different. And people can hear and listen. But that takes a lifetime of walking with the Lord to get to that place. You know, how we desire that. And I think the more we walk with the Lord, the more we desire that, don't we? That we desire good, godly friendship. That we desire good, godly people around us. And the Lord says, no, it's not going to be this one. Neither has the Lord chosen this. And so then Jesse, the dad, probably getting a little discouraged by now. Let's see, my two best sons, and neither one are going anywhere here. I don't know what Samuel's doing. Remember, Samuel hasn't told him what he's doing. But Jesse's having his sons pass before him. He knows something is going on, but there's something wrong with both those things. So Jesse then made Shammah to pass by. And the Lord said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. No, this isn't the one. And you would think that Samuel might be getting a little discouraged here. Well, Lord, did you really call anybody from Jesse's family? Because remember, you sent me and you told me to go and get Jesse to come to the feast, and you're saying no. Just wondering what's up here and really starting to learn that the age and maturity and good looks and strength don't really have anything to do with God's choosing. It says what in Scripture? God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's why we're here. We're here to confound the world. Look at those. They call them Christians. Really? Look at their walk. And God goes, but they've got my heart. And so I've chosen them. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Jesse, what's up, man? Your sons aren't doing really good. What's going on here? Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. He's keeping the sheep. He's going to continue to keep the sheep. He keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. And until he comes before us, we're not going to sit down and have fellowship. We're not going to sit down and enjoy what God is doing until this is done. Notice he doesn't say, well, since the meal's here and God's rejected all your kids, let's just eat, have great time, and then we'll go. He says, no, there's got to be something else. God told me to come here. I know God told me. I'm sure he told me. And I'm sure he said that one of your sons was going to be the next king, was going to be anointed. I brought my flask. I got the oil. Hey, something's got to be going on here. That's how sure he was of the Lord speaking to him, that he could just base his whole relationship, his whole encounter that's going on God's word. And as we grow in the Lord and as we grow in the trust of his word, we can do the same thing. That, Lord, you've told me to come here. And since you told me to come here, I know you've got something for me. So help me to stay here until I see what that is. Don't let me leave too early until I see what you do. Because what would it do to Samuel and his relationship with the Lord if that was all of his sons and Jesse said, got no more? He wouldn't trust what he was hearing anymore, would he? But he had grown into such a place that when God spoke, he knew it was going to be true, and he knew that it could come to pass, and that it was going to come to pass. And so, are these all your kids? And he says, no, there's the youngest one. It's almost like he was ashamed of them, isn't it? He didn't even call them to the feast. He said, stay out there with the sheep because you're too young, you're too little. You don't know enough yet. And Samuel says, go and fetch him, because I need to see him before we can sit down to eat, before we can have fellowship. And he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy. He was out in the fields a lot. He was withal of a beautiful countenance. He was goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Can you imagine the consternation he's going to have from the oldest son to the next youngest son? Is that you picked him and not me? Aren't I better than my little brother? I love my little brother, but he's good for the sheep, but he's not good for leading a country, I can tell you. Amazing. The Lord says, arise and anoint him. Do this, Samuel. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. They had the feast. Doesn't say anything about the meal. Doesn't say he did anything else with him. Or the conversations between Jesse and his other sons and Samuel. Doesn't say anything else about it. He did what the Lord told him to, and then the Lord moves on in his account of this situation to Samuel leaving, going back to the heights. Because Ramah means heights. He's going back to the heights of where he came from, the heights of his relationship with the Lord, the heights of his place in just ministering to the Lord and with the Lord. And he just does what the Lord told him. And what does David do now? Well, guess what? It said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And Samuel says, I don't need to be here because he's got the Spirit of the Lord. I don't need to be here. He's got the Spirit of the Lord to lead him now. And isn't it great that we can leave things in the hand of the Lord as God's Spirit moves upon somebody's life? I don't need to be here. He's got the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit can take care of him. And we do that with our kids sometimes, don't we? As we try and train them, we try and lead them, we try and correct them, we try and move them in the right direction, and we pray for them, and we do all those things. But if they get saved and the Lord has his hand upon them, we can take our hands off and say, Lord, they're your mess. You take care of them as you see fit. So Samuel goes up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Spirit that was upon Saul to lead him to be a godly king departs and leaves because of Saul's dealings with the Lord's word, with his prophet, with the people around him. He was more focused on the things that man was going to bring than he was what God was going to do. And so the Lord says, well, since you don't need me and you don't want me and you're not going to look to me, then I'll just depart from you. Oh, Lord, keep us close. So the unfolding of God's plan in his time comes to pass. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. An evil spirit that the Lord allowed to come. It wasn't that God had evil spirits that he had around him. These were evil because of their relationship with Satan and their departing from the things of the Lord. This evil spirit comes and troubles him. God allows this evil spirit to come. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles you. Let now our Lord command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on the harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon you that he shall play with his hand and you shall be well. Even they are in this place that they know that he has an evil spirit, that something is going on in his life that isn't godly, it's evil. And he surrounded himself with people who know better but still aren't doing anything more with it, because there's none of them that are encouraging Saul to turn around and to repent and to change. Instead, they're just saying, go find somebody that can play a harp well, because in the soothing music of that harp, you'll be better off than you are now. Instead of telling him the right things, they're telling him something that's just going to keep him balanced. And isn't that what the world does? Because the world doesn't tell people to go get saved and you're going to be okay in your depression, or you're going to be okay in the things that are bothering you and the guilt that's upon you because of your past life. Because guilt can be an awful thing that can drive you crazy. That's why we have so many hospitals that are open for people that are in despair and in decline, because they just can't deal with those things, but they aren't telling them the right things to do. They're just trying to give them something that are going to keep them balanced. And isn't that what the drugs are for? Well, we'll give you this to keep you balanced off so that you don't feel quite so bad about what you've done. So you don't have to feel so bad about what's going on. And isn't that crazy that we'll do anything to stay balanced, but not the right thing to get raised up above it? And we have such a sad world that would do that. And we have men that go to school for years to find out how to balance people off, but not how to get them to the right place in their relationship with the Lord or with the world. It's all about you and we'll get you balanced. Instead of it's all about you and we'll get you to God so that you can repent and turn and get changed, we'll just keep you balanced. And there are certainly chemical things that go on in people's bodies and they need medication at times. And I'm not against medication. Coffee's a medication. It keeps Patrick balanced, at least for now. But don't get near him if he hasn't had coffee for a couple of days. He'll be way off the wall. But we do those things, don't we? And the world does those things and we'll accept it as being okay instead of, no, that's not right. It's not good. It's not the best that God has. Instead of us encouraging people to the best, we encourage them to, it's okay. So when the evil spirit has come upon you, Saul, this man can come and play with his hand and you shall be well. And isn't it interesting? When we get in funks sometimes, when we get in those places of despair or discouragement, that praise music is one of the best things that we can have. As you go and listen and start worshiping and praising, the Lord just kind of soothes us and gives us to a place that we can just rest and be at peace. Because praise music is a wonderful thing, and God brings it. But that isn't the end all. That isn't what's going to save us. What saves us is God's going to save us. But he uses these things to help us to get to a place that's right. So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." And then answered one of the servants that said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." They could tell that the Lord was with him. Remember, this is after the Spirit of God has come upon him. And all of a sudden, David hasn't promoted himself. He hasn't put up a billboard and said, "David lives here, that Samuel came and anointed, and I'm a godly man now, and so you can look to me." He hasn't said a word. He just went back and took care of the sheep again. But the people see a difference in David's life. And they say, this man not only can play a good, mean guitar, but boy, he's in a place where he's mighty, he's strong. We've seen what he can do. He may be little, he may be short, and he may be young, but he's a man that is after God's own heart. And remember, he's not an old boy. He's still a young, young man. But people see a difference. People now are promoting him. He doesn't have to promote himself. God has promoted him. And we don't raise up ourselves. God raises us up. We humble ourselves. And it says that God will raise us up. We don't have to promote ourselves. We don't have to push ourselves as being something. God will do that if we are something. But we're only something because God is making us something. These are none of the characteristics that David has made for himself. These are things that God has given him, talents and encouragements and strength and wisdom and power that God has given him. And so they see this, the world sees this, and they say, boy, this is the one that you want to see. This is the one that you want to have. The Lord lays this man on their hearts. But isn't it interesting? David's anointed as king, and yet Saul's still alive. Okay, Lord, what do I do with this? You got me going. I'm King David, but there's King Saul on the throne. What's up with this whole picture? What do we do with this? But David doesn't push himself. He rests that God is going to give him the time to come to that place. And we see him for years running from Saul, certainly not doing all the right things, but not doing a whole lot of wrong things, but just in the presence of the Lord and just wanting the Lord's will to be done. And just accepting that maybe not this moment, but one of these days, God has promised to make me king. And I don't even know what to do with it once I get there. But God knows. So God, you lead me. But he's preparing him, isn't he? He's making him a mighty man of valor. And that's what we want for God to do with us. We want him to make us mighty men and women of God, that we can stand before him and just bless the people that are around us and encourage the people that are around us. He's preparing us for greater and greater things. And who knows when those we're going to see those things. But we're going to rest that, God, you're making me, you're changing me, you're conforming me to your image. And isn't that what he's doing with David? He's conforming him to his image. But not to be presented as king over Israel, but to be presented as a godly man who can be in the presence of a king. He's a valiant man. He's a man of war. He's prudent. He's good looking. He can handle himself. And most importantly, the Lord is with him. They noticed that the Lord was with him, just like they did with Samuel. Because remember, Samuel was just a young man when he came to Eli. And yet it says that he grew in favor with men and with God. Somebody else that we know of that did that, Jesus, said he grew in favor with men and with God. And so he just becomes a type of Christ. And we see that David is growing in that same way. And you and I should be growing in that same way. Lord, am I growing in who you are? Or am I still the same that I was? Lord, change me. If I haven't grown, Lord, change me. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something that we need to turn to the Lord for. Lord, change me. I need changing. And thank goodness he changes us. Because otherwise, we'd be just like we were years ago. And who wants that? We don't want to be what we were. We want to be brand new. Those new creatures, new creations in Christ. And so Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David, your son, which is with the sheep." He knew where he was. He's with the sheep. Clean him up before he gets here, but go get him. But isn't it interesting that Samuel already prepared the people? What did he say about Saul? He's going to take your young men. He's going to take your strong men. He's going to take your young women. He's going to take your maids. He's going to take them to be bakers and confectionaries. He's going to do all these things. And so when Saul sends somebody to go get somebody, they know automatically the king has demanded you. I'm going. The king wants you. It's time to go. And one day Jesus is going to call us our king, and he's going to say, "It's time for you to come be with me, Yahoo." And we're prepared to go because God wants us. I'm so glad he wants us. Oh, it's so wonderful that God would even pay attention to us, much less want us. Wherefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David, your son, which is with the sheep." And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a goat, and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. The king wants you, so I want you to take gifts to the king. And what gift can we take to the king? We want to be those living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God. That's what we bring to our king. One of the Psalms says, "What can I give unto God?" He said, "I can just give him myself. I can just take the cup of salvation. That's what I can do. I can just take that cup and drink deeply of it because that's what God wants from me. He doesn't want me. He doesn't want what I can give him. He just wants all of me." Lord, help us to give him all of who we are, because he shows us day after day how ugly sometimes our hearts are, doesn't he? As you sit before him and you just realize, "Lord, I got nothing." And he says, "Oh, but I want you. I don't want what you can give me. I just want you." Oh, Lord, help me to come to that place. And so David came to Saul. As he comes in this place, comes to the king, and he stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. What the enemy wanted to do was destroy Saul, destroy the Jews. And instead, the Lord brings this young boy, David, into the kingdom. And he just does havoc on Satan's work, on what he's going to do. Because David is going to raise up Israel to be in one of the greatest places it had ever been. And yet he came into the kingdom what Satan meant for evil, because he wanted to come in and destroy Saul and destroy Israel and destroy everything about it. And David comes in, a young boy, and he raises up Israel to be one of the greatest kingdoms in the world. Just an amazing thing of what God can do with something little. Despise not the day of small beginnings, because in that God is going to do an awesome work. And so David comes to Saul, stands before him, and he loved him greatly. He became his armor bearer. So what David had been doing in private all these years was now going to be public. Everybody was going to watch everything that he did, but the Lord made sure he had worked him into a place and conformed him into this image before he could be made public. And so Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And it came to pass that when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand, so that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. It's just so amazing that sometimes we can be in a place of evil. We can be before evil itself, and God can give us something that we can do that will quell the work of that spirit that's around us into a place where it's okay. Not everybody's called to that place, because evil spirits are an awful thing. They're a hard thing, and not everybody's equipped for it. But David was in that place because he had walked with the Lord and ministered to the Lord. The Lord had prepared him all this time so that when he came into it, he wasn't afraid of it. He didn't run from it. In fact, he stayed there and quelled it with what God had given him as gifts to use that would just calm that whole situation and bring a peace about it that Saul couldn't have, but David did have. And we can do the same thing sometimes in places, that we can sit there and pray as we see people ranting and raving before us. And boy, you just see things that are going on and you just wonder, Lord, what can't you do? Remember one time we came out of church and there was still telephone booths around. I don't know if any of you remember telephone booths, but they were things, and they weren't for Doctor Who. You know, they weren't the TARDISes that were around that just popped up in places. These were real phone booths. And we came out of church once, and there was somebody on the phone booth. I think it was a lady, and she was yelling and screaming. And we could hear her all over. And the phone booth wasn't real close to the church, but, you know, we just prayed. And all of a sudden, the noise level went down. I said, God, I know this isn't me, but boy, you can do stuff that I can't even think of. But who was it that even gave us the heart to pray? It was God. It wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't anything that we said. It wasn't anything that we prayed. It was God's Spirit wanting to do something for them and to show us that he's got power that we don't know anything about yet, that we're going to learn about, that he can do something in and through us that we just can't even picture. Oh, and you just stand there amazed and you just go, I can't believe this. This is wonderful. God, continue that good work that you've begun. And isn't that what we want? Oh, God is so good. And we just rejoice in that. So much for chapter 17. We'll get there. Mr. Goliath is the giants come. But we want to keep that chapter whole, I guess. So, Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for just this picture of what you can do in a life. Lord, not even knowingly being prepared, but yet, Lord, you've been preparing us throughout our lives for the work that you want to do in and through us. So, Father, have your way with us. There's nothing that you can't do. And so, Lord, bring us to a place of just accepting your ways, of just being trained up in your ways. And Lord, as we face opposition, as we face those things, that we can still trust you in the midst, that your way is going to be accomplished, that you can just quell the disruption that's going on in and around and through us, and just raise up a quietness about us so that we can hear you speak. So Lord, have your way and just minister to us and strengthen us, Lord, for the battles that are ahead. We know the enemy is rising up more and more around us, Lord. We see it more and more, and we don't know the day that we're going to be called before something that's awful. But Lord, help us to be in such a state with you that we would just be a presence that would just calm the evilness and the awfulness that's around us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for preparing us, that we don't have to be afraid and run from it. Instead, we can just stand, and that we would be all right as we just praise you and worship you. We love you, Lord, and thank you for these examples that we see. And thank you, Lord, that we don't have to look on outward things, that we can see inwardly, that you can show us and you can tell us that this is right, this is the way, this is the one. Join yourselves to him. And Father, we just look to you for it. May our relationship with you grow and grow, and that we would be less and less, and that you would be more and more. That we wouldn't walk by sight like Samuel started to, that we would walk by faith, that he ended up doing, just trusting you that your ways were right, and that we can anoint those things that are godly and just dismiss those things that you haven't chosen, Lord. Help us to do that. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.